a particular thought to carry you through the year and just to kind of hone in on that. And this year was Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I know you've seen it many times, and we've said it together many times. Let's say it together again and remind us of what God is reminding us of through this proverb, through this wisdom. Let's read this together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. I've been talking about trust, and I've been putting this definition in front of you, and I know it's repetition, but this definition means so much to you. I want to remind you that trust is, it's good for us. God wants us to trust in Him because He has so much to give us. He wants to bless our lives. He wants us to find peace and well-being. So do I have that on the next slide, the definition of trust? The sense of well-being, this is what God wants us to have as we trust Him more and more. The sense of well-being and security. I mean, these things are not felt by everyone. All of us, even as Christians, don't we struggle with this anxiety, with the sense that something is just off, something is not right. We worry, we're consumed sometimes with worry. God says, trust me, because you're going to have this sense of well-being. You're going to have this feeling of security because you have someone in whom you can place your confidence. You're going to feel safe and secure. You're going to feel unconcerned about life. So this trust, what we're talking about, it's not a burden. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to open up this blessing that God has for us. So essentially, I've been kind of taking this verse apart, these two verses apart, looking at a word or a phrase and just trying to go a little bit deeper into what Scripture is calling us to do. So we've talked about trust, what it means. That definition pretty much says it all. That's what God wants for us. Don't you want to have those feelings of safety and security, that confidence that there's someone that you can place your life in, someone that is going to give you that sense of well-being? Trust in the Lord. This is the personal name of God, Yahweh. We have many other gods, many other idols, lots of things that we put our trust in. In fact, Scripture says there's a lot of things that you shouldn't trust, but you need to trust in the Lord. He's all loving, He's all knowing, He's all wise, He's all powerful. I think I added one to my three that I preached on, but He's all of those things. And so we can place our confidence and our trust in Him because of who He is. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Doesn't always make sense. I mean, God is not always going to line up with the way that we see things. He is God, we are not. So we have to just give our heart over to Him, even when our mind is saying, this doesn't make sense. Even when other people are saying, this doesn't make sense. Even when our world is telling us, this doesn't make sense. With our heart, we follow after God with all of our heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Again, you don't get it all. You don't see every perspective. You are not all-knowing. You are not all-wise. You are not all-powerful. You're not even all-loving. So you don't get it. You don't understand it. So we just have to put this aside that we cannot trust in ourselves. In fact, the very nature of trust is to do something that contradicts your own understanding. When someone says, trust me, in essence, they're saying, do what I'm telling you to do, not what you think is best to do. And a lot of times in Scripture, we're going to have that experience. God, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like this is going to give me the safety, security, this life that you've promised, but I'm going to follow you with all of my heart, not just my mind. I'm going to follow you because I know that you know better than I do. Ran across this quote yesterday, didn't have a chance to put it in the notes or in the slide here. It's Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, great thinker. Listen to this. He said, to trust God in the light is nothing, but to trust Him in the dark, that is faith. To trust God when everything makes sense, well, what is that? I mean, that's not really trusting Him, it's trusting in ourselves. But when we trust God in the darkness, that's the very essence and the definition of what faith is. And so some things in life may look really good to us, may make a lot of sense to us, may be appealing to us. But when we trust God, we realize that He knows better. Not everything that I think is good is good for me. Let's look at this little video here that kind of illustrates that. Here's some Hershey's cocoa. Have you ever done this in Hershey's cocoa? You know, it sounds really good. I remember as a child doing this. Look at this kid's expression. Whoa, man. I thought this was going to be good. What? Let me check the label on this. Is this really cocoa? Is it? Keep watching. Watch. Oh, no. It's coming out. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Man. Oh. You know? This is us, you know? Man, the world is saying, this looks so good to us. And then we get a taste of it. And we realize, whoa, should have listened to what mom said. Don't eat the cocoa. And so, yeah, you can wrap up the sermon with that. Don't eat the cocoa, right? Don't eat the cocoa. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. And I want to look at especially that first phrase in verse 6. We look to trust in the Lord, all of our heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but then the proverb says, this is wisdom, in all your ways, submit to him. That word all, it's the second time it's used in these two verses. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and then he says here, in all of your ways, submit to him. I think the author is trying to tell us something, that our trust has to apply to every area of our life. Every path that we take, we must take that path trusting in God. Here's a couple other translations that kind of give a little different nuance to what the proverb is saying here. The message says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Proverbs 3:6 from the New Century Version, remember the Lord in all you do, every area of your life. This trust needs to be present wherever you go. This means at home, in whatever your role, whatever your responsibility is at home. If you're a husband, you trust God to be the husband that God has called you to be. It may not always make sense, but in your home, you're a wife. You want to trust God in everything that you do, the way that you treat your husband, the way that you live your life. If you're a parent, then you want to trust God in your parenting. If you're a child, if you're living at home with your parents, you want to trust God as you live your life as a child. Whatever relationship that you have, you trust God in that relationship. God, speak to me to be the best whatever that you have called me to be. Every relationship, we trust God, not on our own understanding, not what other people are telling us. In our finances, we trust God. Man, God, it makes sense to do this with my finances, but I'm going to trust in you as I manage my finances and budget my finances. In our jobs, we're going to trust God. God, I'm going to act as a Christian. I'm going to behave as a Christian. It may seem to be more than my to do a certain practice, but God, I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to be obedient to you. In my job. At school, I'm going to be obedient to you, even when everyone else is saying that this is the way to life, that this is going to give me freedom. I'm going to trust you, God, at school. When we're on the field of play, as we live that out, I'm going to trust you, God, and I'm going to be the athlete that you have called me to be. In theater, God, I'm going to be the actor or actress that you have called me to be, and I'm going to trust in you, not what everyone else is saying. In band and choir and cheer, whatever you're in, God, every path that I take, every decision that I make, every role that I fulfill, I'm going to trust you in every aspect of my life. Maybe you've heard the expression, unless Jesus is Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Right? Unless Jesus is Lord of every area of my life, then there's no sense calling him Lord. If we're not willing to obey him, then what does it mean for us to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ? It's not just a feeling, it's not just a word, it's not just something that we do at church, it's not just something we do at different times in our week. It is an all-encompassing aspect of our life to trust God. And then that trust demonstrates itself in that we are obedient to him. In all your ways, everything that you do, you submit to him. Even though it doesn't make sense, I say, God, everything I do, every decision that I make, every path that I take, I'm going to follow after you. C.S. Lewis said there would be no sense in saying you trusted Jesus if you would not take his advice. There would be no sense in calling yourself a Christian. There's no sense. If you acknowledge that God is all-loving, all-knowing, and all-powerful, what sense does it make if we are not willing to submit our lives to Him in obedience? You know, as Barry said in our communion meditation, Jesus didn't come to be one of our advisors. Jesus came to be our advisor, the advisor, to reveal to us that God is our advisor. If you're looking for Jesus to be one voice among many, that's not His job. That's not what He came to do. Submit your life in all of your ways. Have you ever had the experience when people would ask for your opinion? Yeah, I have. I've got this situation. I need your advice, need your wisdom. And then you tell them what you would do, or you, in your wisdom, you tell them what they should do. And then you have the experience that they don't listen to you at all. They do the exact opposite. It's like they never even, well, why did you even ask me, is what you think. Now, the reason why people don't always take your advice is because you are not all-knowing, you are not all-loving, you are not all-powerful, and so that's going to happen at times. But we go to God and we pray to Him. God, man, I need your guidance, I need your direction. But then we don't even listen to Him. Makes no sense whatsoever. We need to submit our lives, every aspect of our life. If we want to have that feeling of security, of safety, that feeling of well-being, we want our paths to be straight, the promise that we'll get to here in a couple of weeks, if we want all of the blessings of trust, then we submit ourselves, all of our ways. So that's a thought. I mean, this is you know that, right? You've heard that before. You read the Bible. You know that God has always wanted to be number one. They should have no other gods. One of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Worship me and me alone. So this is a thought in the whole Old Testament, all the Hebrew Scriptures. But it's a thought that is carried into the New Testament as well. Here's a couple of Scriptures that you're familiar with, but we're here to remind ourselves, aren't we? Here to recommit ourselves to this wholehearted trusting in God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, Paul is talking about a situation in the church there. There's this food that's been offered to idols, and there's this debate. Should we eat it? Should we not eat it? And he says, well, let's put all that aside, and let's just say, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Everything that you do, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a child, as a son, as a daughter, as an employee, as an athlete, as a musician, whatever it is, God, help me to submit my ways to you so it will glorify you. Paul in Colossians chapter 3 again. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So the question that I need to ask myself, and I ask you to ask yourself, are there areas in my life, are there areas in your life that you are not trusting God in? In all your ways, submit to Him. This applies to everything. All of your ways, all of your life. You see, our faith is not just an intellectual assent of theological beliefs. It's not just part of our life. It's our life. I mean, Paul couldn't make it any more clear than he does in Romans chapter 12, doesn't he? He says, man, this is what you need to do. You need to offer your bodies as a sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to God. Your bodies, I mean, that word is just all-encompassing. Everything that you are, everything that you think, everything that you do is laid on the altar. I wish I had looked at that song, Trust and Obey. What is it, Basil, help me out here? Until all on the altar I lay. What's the verse there? Excuse me? Okay, until all on the altar we lay, everything about us, our entire life, our entire being is given to Christ. And then we start to enjoy and experience the blessings of this trust. And again, God doesn't tell us just to trust Him because He's some bully in the sky. I want you to trust me. I want you to do what I say. Do this, do that. It's not like He's getting some pleasure out of this submission. He tells us to trust Him because He has something in store for us. In the letters that Paul wrote, Paul's very theological. He talks a lot about faith, justification, sanctification, all these nice words, all these beautiful words, forgiveness, grace, mercy, all of these things. And so he has a very solid theological foundation, but in many of his letters he says, this theology affects our life as well. And so in some of the letters, we see that Paul writes what's called household codes. He gives instructions to people. You have this faith, this is what it means. And one of those is in Ephesians chapter 6. He talks to husbands and he talks to wives. And he says, you need to submit yourselves to one another. He talks to children and he talks to parents. And he talks about that relationship is formed and lived out on the basis of this faith. He talks about people who are slave and free. And he says, your faith affects the way that you master and the way that you serve. This faith applies to all of these relationships. And then he gives this summary statement. After he's talked to all of these different people, it's not comprehensive, but he gives a list of different common relationships that we're in. He says, this is what you need to do. Serve, I love this word, wholeheartedly. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you're serving the Lord, not people. Wholeheartedly. Can we really say to ourselves that we are wholeheartedly trusting in God? I want to play off that word. Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13. It says 12 spies as they go out in the land of Canaan. It's 13 and 14. I don't have this. It's in the sermon notes on the app there. You can turn your Bible, pick up one of those red pew Bibles. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It's the fourth book in the Bible. It's named Numbers. That title is a little deceptive. It does talk about counting the people and taking a census. But the book of Numbers has a lot of great stories of things that were happening with the people of Israel in between the Exodus, when they left Egypt, before they get to the Promised Land. There's a lot of stuff that goes down in between the Red Sea and then inheriting the Promised Land. And so this is one of those stories. Well, God says to Moses, he says, send out some men to explore the land of Canaan. Canaan is this land that God had promised to them. In fact, in verse 2, note that God says, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. I'm giving this to you. It's a foregone conclusion. This is your land. I want you to live in this land. And it's been described in the past. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land. It's a beautiful land. It's a great place to call home. So send out some men to explore the land of Canaan. In the next several verses, we have the list of the 12 tribes of Israel. This is how each person identified themselves within the nation of Israel, all tracing back to one of those sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And so there's one man chosen from each one of these tribes, and they go into that land. He gives them directions, come up from the south, and there are some geographical markers here that are used. I want you to know, what kind of land is it? Is it good? Is it bad? I'm looking at verse 19 right now of chapter 13. You know, what do the towns look like? Do they have walls? Are they fortified? You know, let's have some type of plan of attack here. How's the soil? You know, how important is that in this time period? Is it fertile or is it poor? What about the trees? We just want to know. These people, they couldn't Google land of Canaan while they were in Egypt to know what the land looked like. They have no idea. They've heard stories, but they have no idea how beautiful and how wonderful and how productive this land is going to be. And so they go up, I'm looking in verse 22, they go up through the Negev, that's the southern part of the land, that's where they're kind of camped, south of Canaan, and they come to these different towns, and they find some people, the descendants of Anak, A-N-A-K. These are mysterious people. What we know about them, they are big, they are strong, and they are mean, and they are scary. And so that's what the spies see. Not only do they see all of the glory of the land that's described in the verses to follow. I mean, they got clusters of grapes. I mean, they're carrying them, the picture of them carrying them on these poles. And man, this land is just very, very fruitful. It's a bountiful land. But they see the obstacles in the way. One of those obstacles are these ferocious, powerful people. And so they're scared. And they see, you know, there's other people living in this land too. And there's a list in verse 29 of all these different people that live in this land. And so they come out and they're afraid. This land is beautiful, but they're scared. It doesn't make sense that an untrained army People who have been slaves are going to have the power to go up into this land. And honestly, it doesn't make sense, doesn't it? This makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, if I was betting on these people, I'm not putting any money on the Israelites if I didn't know who God was. But from a human perspective, they have no chance. But then there's one person who stands up. So look at verse 30. This is an important verse here in verse 30. Then Caleb, this is one of the men that was chosen. Caleb's from the tribe of Judah. He silences the people. He says, be quiet. He silences the people before Moses. And he said, we should do it. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. And as you look at Caleb, he's not saying that we can do it. Caleb knows that God has made these promises. Caleb is not looking at the obstacles. He's looking at the promise that God has made about these people. And he says, yeah, we saw all these people. We saw these giants, but I believe that we can do it. Bottom line, the spies, for the most part, they didn't trust God. All right, after that, God gets really angry at the people. I want to give them this land, and they're not willing to go up. And so Moses and God have a very interesting conversation here. But ultimately, God says, all right, you know, my plan was, let's just destroy them. Moses, you and I, we'll start all over again, start a new nation. And again, in this dialogue, God says, all right, I'm going to forgive the people. This is in chapter 14, if you scroll down to verse 20. The Lord says, I have forgiven them, as you have asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. So in essence, everyone that was participating, every adult that participated in the Exodus, in the parting of the Red Sea, in the eating of the manna, the eating of the quail, all of those people are going to be denied entering in to the promised land. And this is where you get 40 years of wilderness wandering. But verse 24, chapter 14. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit, and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he went into, and his descendants will inherit it. We'll look at another translation of verse 24. It's Young's literal translation, which is really, it's a difficult translation to read because it's very literal. I mean, it takes a Hebrew word in the case of the Old Testament, and it gives you an English word. And so with the differences in syntax between Hebrew and English, that doesn't always come across most readable. But I use this sometimes as a reference just to see another take on the translation of the Hebrew. And my servant Caleb, because there hath been another spirit with him. Do you have a different spirit? Or do you have a spirit like everyone else? What's your spirit like? And you'll be called different. You'll be called odd. You'll be called strange. When people trust in the Lord, you're different. Caleb has a different spirit. And he is, and this is, instead of wholeheartedly, this is a difficult Hebrew word. It's actually a couple of Hebrew words to translate. It says, and he is fully after me. I like that. Fully after. Wherever God goes, I'm going to go. I'm that pesky little kid. I'm always behind my parent. I'm the one that you can't get rid of. You go somewhere and I'm there all the time because I'm wholeheartedly serving you. So to add to that question earlier, are you fully after God? Am I fully after God? Do you follow him all of the time? Do you trust him to provide even when the odds seem to be so much against you, when things do not make sense? Are you willing to stand up among people and declare your trust in God? That's what Proverbs 3:6 is saying, isn't it? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And let that fall on you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Because here's the truth, when we fail to trust God, we fail to enter the promised land. And I'm thinking, God, what promised lands in my life have I not been able to enter because I have not trusted you in all ways? What promises are you not enjoying the benefits of, the blessing of, because you're just holding back in something, some way, something about your life? Are you allowing fear, doubt, self-sufficiency? Are those holding you back? God says, trust me in all of your ways. Because here's the truth. The half-hearted die in the wilderness, but the whole-hearted enjoy the blessings of the promised land. May Psalm 119:80 be our prayer. May I wholeheartedly follow your decrees. All right, are you holding something back? God says, I want you to trust me with everything because I have so much that I want to give to you. But you have to trust. And we've been singing about it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. We sang all to Jesus. Did we sing that?
Yes.
That's a rhetorical question. I was here. I sang it. We sang all to Jesus, all to Jesus. That's the refrain, all to Jesus I surrender. Are you really doing that? Because it's more than a song, it's more than just words. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Again, God's saying, the only motivation I have for asking you to trust me is it's for your own good. He wants us to fully trust him because he has a promised land in store for us. And he knows. He's all-knowing. He knows what's best for us. Trusting God, that's where the life is. And so we're going to sing another song that expresses the same sentiment. It's, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. In many languages, that term heart, it means more than just the organ in our chest that pumps blood. It means our very essence. It's who we are. And so as we sing this song, I want you to think, God, I really want to trust you more. I want to give you everything. I want to surrender everything to you. And then even ask yourself, what areas am I holding back? What am I doing? I'm asking you for this advice, but I'm not following you. What areas in my life am I holding back? And for many of us, we know exactly what that is. I mean, we don't have to think too much about it. There are areas in your life that you're saying, God, I'm not going to give you this. If that's not the case, if you don't know, then the prayer should be, God, reveal to me what areas of my life I'm not fully submitting to you. Because we can be so deceived. We live in this world that doesn't trust in God, and it's so easy. It's so easy just to go with the flow. And so sometimes we need a work of the Spirit in our lives to just reveal to us, whoa, you're not fully trusting God in this area of your life. So as we sing this song, God, let me fully trust you in all of my ways. Let's stand together and sing.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All that is within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
I worship you.
All that is within me, I give. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me.
Amen.
Thank you all so much for being here this morning, both in person and online. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. We are thrilled you are here. Please let us shake your hand and get to know you a little bit. Basil, thank you for a great song service. Really appreciate it. Todd, thank you for reminding us to wholeheartedly trust and submit to God in all our ways. We certainly need that. Lance, thank you for your prayer. And Tyler and Barry, thank you for reminding us that Jesus is the only way. Remember your messenger. Those that are on our prayer list there, remember those that are hurting, those that are sick, and those that are grieving. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We trust you. We love you. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to gather to encourage each other in our walk, to help each other, to walk along beside each other, Father. Thank you for everyone here, for everyone that's part of our body. Be with those that are ill, those that are hurting and grieving. Comfort them, Father. Please be with them. Help us to walk alongside them and help them in every way that we can. Thank you, Father, for Jesus' sacrifice, for his blood that covers us.